my. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. What an awesome soul he is. Amen. I saw him a few weeks ago on Facebook, and he was singing at the school, and I wanted him to sing his song here at New Bethlehem. He attends here, and we thank God for his spirit. Amen. His auntie told me his story and all that God has brought him through. And then he says in his praise, if God doesn't do another thing for me, he's done enough. Amen. A lot of us ought to have that same sentiment. God has already been extremely good and extremely kind to us. Thank God for all of you. Thank God for these preachers and the persons of Reverend McCoy, Reverend Mims, Reverend Skipper. Thank God for our ladies, our sisters who have devoted us, my wife, preacher wives, deacon and trustee wives. We thank God for you. Thank God for male chorus that have sang so melodiously, blessed us in song. We thank God for the media ministry, environmental safety team. Thank God for all of you. We had some visitors to stand, and some didn't stand. It's so good to see Teresa and her mom from Starkville, Mississippi. Amen. Y'all stand. Come on, mother, stand. Amen. This is Teresa's mother. Amen. Thank God for your presence. Starkville, Mississippi, and then two ladies that stood in the rear. We thank God for you. And then I think I see our guest who was here long last week. It's good to see you back this week. We want y'all to keep coming until you come enough to feel comfortable in being a part of us. We thank God for you and your presence. Listen, I want to say congratulations to all who celebrating anniversary, marriage anniversary. I think Deacon 50 years. Amen. Amen. That's a lot of waking up in the morning saying, baby, I still love you. 50 years. And I was teasing with Sister Green. They went to Jamaica, I think, or to one of the islands. Was it Jamaica? And she said, well, I'm ready to go back. I said, well, you can't stay over there. And so thank God for their presence. And then brother and sister Matthews, 35 years. Amen. 35 years. Amen. That's a lot of waking up in the morning saying, baby, I love you. Who else? We had someone else. Who is that? Y'all say a little louder. Tanya. At 22 years, Tanya Thomas and her husband. Amen. 22 years. That's a long time to say, honey, I love you. Listen, if you've been together a year or 2 years, that's a long time. You know, Satan is working on marriages. That's why we have marriage community. And we do invite you, if you haven't already taken part in our marriage community, we want you to come and share. We've had awesome times in the Lord. Amen. Brother Hodges did a wonderful job with the announcement for our men's prayer retreat. And thank God for him. He said he wanted to pause parenthetically. Amen. Amen. Thank God for him. Listen, if you haven't made plans to be with us on Saturday, please make plans to be here at 10. We have a wonderful speaker or speakers. Dr. Cavett is the main. We have Reverend Mims, Reverend Gilchrist, and Reverend McCoy, who will touch on the other areas. But Reverend Dr. Reginald Calvert is the main speaker. And then at the same time at 10, the women will be here. Women, daughters, and what do y'all call it, women, daughters and girls of promise, they'll be here in the sanctuary with their wonderful study. And so we can do it at the same time, just in different places. So as you drop your man off, just come on in the sanctuary and be a part of the women's study. Amen. Listen, a lot is happening, but yet God is faithful. We want you to be encouraged. I'm encouraged by your prayers and your support. I'm encouraged by the faithfulness of God in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of this pandemic. God is still God, and he's faithful. We've had a few glitches. Wife, blood pressure elevated. She's here. She has shouted, thanking God today. And then my mom, she suffered a heart attack on last week, and she has had triple bypass surgery. And God not only brought her to it, he is seeing her through it. And so God is faithful. God is faithful. Thank you for your prayers and your likes, your hearts, your expressions on Facebook and text messaging and phone calls. Means a lot to us. And I've passed every word on to mom and to the wife. And so we thank you for your support and prayers. We do ask for your continued prayers as mama is extended in her recovery. They're looking to release her Tuesday or Wednesday. And so we do ask your prayers. But thank you. Listen, God is good. Come on, give God another hand clap. He's good. And he's good all the time. Hallelujah. 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 God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. God, I thank you. Adore you, I adore you, I adore you. Come on, if you lift it, would you stand with me and say to him today, Lord, I lift you, Lord, I lift you. Lord, I lift you. Lord, I lift you. Come on, hallelujah, if you will.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let me hear you.
Hallelujah.
The person standing beside you need to hear you.
Hallelujah.
Come on again, hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, God is so good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I believe I see Sister Malone. Is that you, Sister Malone from Starkville? Amen. Wave your hand so they can see you. Amen. She's living in the Hoover area. And she told us she was coming. Good to see you today. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. me give y'all something before I preach. We got a lot of calls over the course of last week. And there was one particular call that stuck with me more than the other calls. Not that the other calls were of less importance. But Sister Bertha McLean, who's on our prayer list, she called and she asked about Mom, and she talked around a little bit. And she said, here I go. And she says, 1, 2, 3. And she started praying. And she was praying for healing and deliverance. I said, wow. A person sick herself. And how she went into the prayer. She says, 1, 2, 3. And went to praying. And I felt every word of her prayer. And I said, thank you, Lord, that I'm and my family are on some people's mind and in some people's hearts. And God assured me through that prayer that it was all well. It was. He was with Mother. And then I said, the effectual fervent prayers of the righteous. Have you all ever felt somebody praying for you? The effectual fervent prayers of the righteous avails much. And then the text messages and people saying, we're praying for you, we're praying for you, praying for your mom, we're praying for your wife. And, you know, God is faithful. God is faithful. I want to say thank you. But I wanted to share that because she's on our prayer list. And she hasn't been able to attend service due to her illness. But she called. Lord, when you're praying for people, you never know who God assigned to pray for you. Glory to the name of God. So I want to share that today. It's been in my heart and on my heart to share. Revelation chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things said the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look at someone, if you will, and say, be faithful unto death. Look at another and say, be faithful unto death. Come on, help me shout at the virtual audience and tell them to be faithful unto death. Amen. That's what we want to talk about today. Be faithful unto death. Last week we started a preaching series in the 7 churches of Asia Minor. Church 1 is the church at Ephesus. And there at the church at Ephesus, Jesus revealed himself as the one who holds the 7 stars in his hand, in his right hand. And even assured them of his presence, because he said he walked in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. He's present. There's a reason for us to praise God, because as long as Jesus is present, we have hope and help. Gave the church at Ephesus commendation. They were a church of toil. He commended them for being a church of orthodoxy, in that they knew them of those who taught the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which teaches that as long as you are saved, a believer in Christ, you are free to live your life satisfying the flesh. Jesus said he hated the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and he commended them for hating the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They had some things right about them, but they also had some things wrong. He says, you have left your first love. In other words, you have fell out of love with me. He gives them commendation. He gives them counsel. And then he gives command, in that they were to turn from their sins. They were to turn from their apostasy and turn to him, back to him. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen. You don't fall up. You know, some people think that when they leave Christ, that they have been elevated. You don't fall up. You fall down. See, when you, or if you decide to leave Christ, your life will take a downward spiral. You don't fall up. You fall down. Neighboring the city of Ephesus is this city of Smyrna. And in this city of Smyrna, God situated a church. But Smyrna, unfriendly to church because of its idol worship. This city had a street called the Golden Street. And on the Golden Street, which began at the sea and went into the main street of the city, there were temples erected to idols for idol worship. You have the temple to Zibel. You have the temple that was dedicated to Apollo. You had the temple that was dedicated to Aphrodite. And so as you would go along, you would see these massive temples that was erected for idol worship. God strategically situated the church in the midst of this corruption, this idolatry, so that the church would influence the city. God has a way of planning and positioning his churches. It is not by accident that New Bethlehem is situated where she is. It's no accident that Greater Shiloh is situated where she is. New Jerusalem is situated where she is. God He situates his church right in the midst of corruption to influence corruption by bringing conviction and conversion. He said to this church that they were to heed the great commandment, which is the great commission, to go into the city and teach in the name of Christ, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. He places his church in the midst of the corruption. And because of this church's situation and positioning, this church is experiencing persecution by the hands of Greeks and Jews that hated the few struggling Christians in Smyrna. And because of the wealth of the merchants, they had the ear of the political leaders of Smyrna, and the merchants used their influence and their inroad to lie about the Christians and brought persecution upon them. He says to the church at Smyrna, times are tough. Times are horrendous and horrific. He says times are painful. Problematic. So much so that it may cost you your life. He says, because of your troubles and because of your pressures, because of your pains, don't you put it in reverse. Keep the church in forward. That's a word for somebody here. Pandemic doesn't mean reverse. Problems don't mean reverse. Pains doesn't mean reverse. Even death doesn't mean reverse. You got to keep it in forward. He says you keep the church in forward and you keep your foot on the spiritual gas pedal to push the church forward in the midst of the problems, pain, and persecution that may even lead to death. He encourages his church because his church is being persecuted by the citizens of the city. And he gives way to presenting himself to this church. And he says to the church, I am Christ, who is first and last. In other words, I'm Christ who exists for all eternity. I am eternal God. I am Christ, and I was at the beginning of all things and will be at the close of all things. In other words, Christ exists always, and he exists forevermore. He says, I have always existed and I will always exist. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He says, I'm everlasting God and I am with you. Not only does he reveals himself by way of saying to them that I'm first and last, he says, I'm the one who was dead, who is alive. He says, I'm the one they hang on that cross, nailed the hands and put a crown of thorns on the head. He says, I'm the one that they took the lifeless body down from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb. But the grave couldn't hold me. Death couldn't keep me, because I'm the one who got up early Sunday morning. He says, I was dead and came back to life. I'm with you. Eternal God is with you. God, who has conquered death and the grave, is with you. I'm your security. I'm the one who keeps you. Listen to him now. We need this word today. He says, I'm the one who sustains your life. I'm with you. He says to us today, as the words of Christ to this church at Smyrna echoes through the centuries and speaks aloud to us, he says, there's nothing that can happen to you that has not happened to me. Isaiah 53:10 says he was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hid their faces. He was despised and we held him of low esteem. Jesus says to us that there's nothing that can happen to us that has not happened to him already. He says, I have suffered anything that you will ever suffer or you will ever think about suffering. He said, but I want you to know that I am with you. Paul helps us with this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, he says, for I am persuaded, I'm sure, that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We have security. Now, he shares with this church commendation. There's some things he commends the church for, because this church is faithful to him regardless of her struggles. He says to this church, I commend you for your works, your toil, your struggles, in spite of your tribulation, in spite of your poverty, and in spite of blasphemous Jews who slanders you. I commend you for your toil, your struggles, your tenacity, your stickability, your keep going at it, your keep showing up, your hands continually holding on to the plow, your refusal to look back. He says, I commend you for your toil, your works, that you have not cast in your faith. You have not thrown in the towel. You have not walked away with your hands up saying, forget about it all. And forget it all. But you have busied yourself with the commands of God in the midst of corruption, in the midst of confrontation, in the midst of chaos in this city at Smyrna. This church was committed to him. He says, I commend you for your works. He says, despite your tribulation, pressure, or tribulation, pressure, the members of the church at Smyrna kept working in spite of tribulation, in spite of the pressures. That's what tribulation simply means. It means pressure. Tribulation is used to describe a man being tortured to death by slowly laying a huge boulder on him, and it's like life is being pressured and pressed out of him. He says, There's tribulation. There are pressures that you are having to face. Someone once defined life as change due to pressure of circumstances. Some of you can be a witness that life is pressurized. If it's not one thing, it's another. Pressure everywhere. Pressure of worry. Pressure of materialism. Pressure of a Christless society. Pressure of persecution. Pressure on every hand. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:8 said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. How many of you are on the right side of the comma? You're going through some things, but you're still here. You are dealing with pressures in life, but you are not distressed. You are not in despair. You are not cast down. And thank God you're not destroyed. Somebody, he ought to be a witness, because Satan gave you his best blow. I mean, you've been going through some stuff week after week, day after day, hour after hour, and you are still here, dressed and clothed in your right mind. Somebody here ought to be a witness. Somebody here ought not mind giving God praise, because Satan gave you his best blow, but you still here. I'm on the right side of the comma. I got pressure in my life, but pressure is not going to make me quit. He says, I commend you for your works despite the pressures. He says, not only are you handling the pressure, he says, but you're working despite the poverty. Two Greek words for poverty. One means to work for a living, but the other means to be destitute, which means to have absolutely nothing. The latter is the case for the church at Smyrna. They had nothing, but they worked. Unlike us, we have a whole lot but won't work. They had nothing, but they worked. Reminds me of church of yesteryears, when grandmama and granddaddy, mom and daddy, come up in church. They didn't have the fine amenities of life that we have. Had very little. Matter of fact, they had to share with one another to keep one another going, but they had love for God and love for one another. Listen, you can do some things when you got love for God. You may not have a whole lot of money. And you know, God can substitute money. I mean, cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You don't have to have money to work for the Lord. You just got to have some love in your heart. All to have somebody here can be a witness. You got a whole lot of money. You may not have much love, but if you got love, he says, you all right, because you can work. That's what they had. In Smyrna and yesteryears, they had a heart of love for God and for one another. He says, I see that you are poverty stricken. You don't have anything. But he puts in quotation, but thou art rich. Here it is, a poor rich church. Y'all miss that. A poor rich church. Now, some of you would like to be a rich poor church. But this church was poor, rich church. Poor in money, poor in possessions, but they were rich spiritually. See, some of you think money is a substitute for spirituality. That's why you would prefer to be a rich poor. No, I would rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Because as long as I got Jesus, I got everything I need. Do I have anybody in here who has that same testimony? As long as you got Jesus, you got everything you need. See, if you got Jesus, he can make a raven bring you some food. If you got Jesus, he can make your enemies be your footstool. If you got Jesus while they are your footstool, he'll prepare a table for you in their presence. When you got Jesus, listen, he'll work out some stuff that money can't work out. See, money may buy you medicine, but it can't buy you a healing. Money may buy you a house, but it can't make a home. Money may give you a relationship, but it can't give you love. He will fix it when you got him in your life. I'd rather be poor, rich, than rich, poor. You're poor, but you are rich. He says, I see you're tall. I see your works with the pressure, with the poverty. He says, I even see you tall as you deal with cantankerous people who's in the church with you, but not of the church. See, all of your enemies are not out there. Some of your enemies may have walked in right behind you. Some of your enemies may be sitting right on the same pew as you. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. Some of your enemies may be dressed up in Christian clothes but may not have a Christian heart. He says you have some Jews among you who say they are Jews but are not. They are of the synagogue of Satan. They are influenced by Satan. And they are making mouth at you. That's what blasphemy means, to speak against. You know, you hear it like, you know, when you stand up to praise God, I wish they'd sit down. You hear it like, you know, when you praise God, they say, well, it don't take all of that. You come down the aisle to be seated, and they think they something. All they have to say is against everything you do. And they speak against the activities of Christ in your life. They mad about where God has elevated you to and how God is using you as a utensil for his glory. And man, good, they have nothing good to say. They are being influenced by Satan. And he says, they are not of my synagogue, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. They were Jews by flesh, but not by spirit. And listen, when a man refuses to obey God, he inevitably obeys Satan. There are no gray areas. There's no partiality. There's no neutrality. If you don't obey God, you inevitably obey Satan. That's why James says that we are to resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, you draw nigh to God. Jesus, in Matthew 12, verse 30, he says, "He that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad." He says in Matthew 6, 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon. Paul in Galatians 1, 10 says, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." There is no neutrality. No gray zone. No gray area. He says you're with him or you're not. You're in or you're out. You is or you. I'm not going to say is not. You ain't. It just sounds better, doesn't it? He says, but you can't straddle the fence. You can't have one leg over with God and the other leg over with the devil. You can't shake one hand with the Lord and the other hand with the devil. He says, they say they Jews, but in actuality, in spirituality, they are not. Because they don't have my connection. They are not obedient to my commands. He says, you watch them who say. He says, I commend you for working under pressure, working with poverty, working with problematic people in your life who's pressuring you. He says, I commend you for your tenacity, for your bulldog stickability, your Lion King's courage. He says, I commend you. He says, but I want to be frank and honest. You have gone through some things, but let me share truth with you. You will continue to go through. He says in verse 10, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. There's some more suffering to come. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He promises three things. First of all, he promises, or he guarantees, suffering. We don't like this promise. Reverend, I was with you. Pastor, I was with you until you got to this point. I've gone through enough. And I was hoping you would tell me that all of my troubles are over. And all of my pains are over. And God has finally delivered me from painful and problematic people. I was hoping, that you would tell me that, this sermon would encourage me because I've been going through a lot. But listen, it's encouragement, but it's awful truthful that you have been and you will continue to suffer. He says, the devil who instigates the synagogue of Satan, the devil who influences the synagogue of Satan, is allowed to afflict us. Whew. Now we become Job's of today.
That's right.
He's allowed. So you thought that was just Job's story. You thought that Job was the only one God would allow Satan to afflict. When you get home, look in the mirror and say, hey, Job or Jolina. hey, Job. Talk to yourself. Because you are a Job, because God allows Satan to afflict us. Satan's agenda is the same. His agenda is sinister in that he wants to lead us or take us from faith in God. He said of Job, if he said to God of Job, if you let me have my way with him, I'll make him curse you to your face. He says, I'll turn up the dial. I'll make it hot and heated in his life. And he can't stand heat and pressure. And if you let me have my way with him, I'll start taking some stuff from him. And he says, I even, being that his children are not, a part of his daily ritual, that they are not saved. They are busying themselves with parties and shindigs. He says, I'll take them, and I guarantee you that if I take his stuff, and if I take his children, and if I get in his wife, who he loves dearly, I'll make him cuss you to your face. Now you are Job. He started taking stuff. He started dealing with your children. And then you wake up to that spouse. She or he is talking about how bad you look. Because you're going through. And they try to take you back to the time of parties, time of heaven, a time of shaking your leg, a time of disco lights. And what they want you to do is go back because they didn't bargain for all of this. Satan is allowed to afflict you. You know, not only does he deal with people and things outside of you, he'll start working with your health. Yeah. You go to the doctor and your blood pressure is a little elevated. Your glucose level a little elevated. Wake up one morning to put your foot out of the bed and you got a sharp pain and it's called gout. He started working with you. Cholesterol level. You're already going through a lot. And Satan is allowed to afflict you. And not only is it revealed in Job, but it's revealed in Revelation. But this is a strand that's woven throughout the Bible that we will suffer. That's why the psalmist said in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Paul to his son in the ministry, Timothy, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 14, yea, and in all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. James, the brother of our Christ, in James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptation. We suffer. And here, Jesus reveals that the suffering involved pressure, prison, pain, and death. He promises, he guarantees suffering. But come closer, tune in. He guarantees the shortness of period for our suffering. In other words, we can grab hold of the sentiments of the church of yesterday that trouble don't last always. He says, you are suffering. You will suffer, but your suffering is not always. He uses the idiom 10 days to mean a short period of time. Listen, life is short in comparison to eternity. You suffer. In life, it's a short while. Reverend Skip and I were in the office talking, and he got to talking about how the time is shortened. Lord says, except the time be shortened, there will be none saved. Now, I'm glad I won't live as long as Methuselah, Noah, Abraham. You know, we're not built the same. You know, they could handle pressure a long time. But here is New Testament time. He says, except those days be shortened.
That's right.
There would be none saved. We live 70 plus by way of promise now. And it's a short time. And I'm thankful that.
That's right.
And he says, your period of suffering is limited by Christ, which means that Satan is not in charge. God allows him to afflict us, but then God determines the length of the affliction. That Satan can't do what he wants to do.
That's right.
And he can't do it as long as he would like to do it.
Yeah.
See, like Job, there was a time of restoration.
That's right.
See, we go through, but there will be a time of restoration.
That's right.
He guarantees suffering. He guarantees a short period of suffering, but he guarantees salvation for the saints. He says, to them who is faithful unto death. This word unto is the same as until. Death. He says, I will give a crown of life. Glory to God. He He says that you have to endure. See, true biblical faith endures until the end. It's not a sprint, but a marathon. And it's crossing the finish line. It doesn't matter what place you're in. If you cross the finish line, you get a crown. He says there's salvation for the saints. And I like how he closed this thing out in verse 11. He says to them in verse 11, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death." If there's a second death, there's a first death. And Jesus speaks of the second or the first death in Matthew 10:28, when he said, "Don't be afraid. Don't you fear them who can destroy the body." That the first death is the death of the body. But he says that we are to fear him who can destroy the body and the soul. I thank God that I don't have to die but once, because I am blood bought. I am a child of God. I got eternal assurance. And I thank God that I don't have to die but once. But he says that if you overcome, if you keep on pressing your way, if you keep on praying your way through, if you keep on preaching your way, if you keep on praising your way, you won't be hurt of the second death, which means a death of the soul. I'm so glad that God is my caregiver and my caretaker. I thank God that he is the securer of my soul. And I die one time, but I don't have to be afraid of dying the second time. He says all who abandons him and all who obeys the devil and all who give themselves to adultery and fornication shall have their place in the lake which burneth by fire. That's the second death. Thank God for deliverance. That's why I'm going to keep my hand in the master's hand. As I march up the king's highway, I'm going to keep my hand in the master's hand. Is there anybody here this morning going to keep your hands in the master's hand? Life may be pressurized, it may be filled with problematic people, but I got my hands in the master's hand. Life may be filled with danger, and it may even lead to death, but I got my hand in the master's hand. You ought to help me close by looking at somebody and tell them, "I got my hand in the master's hand, and this world can do my soul no harm." I know we're dealing with COVID. I know we're dealing with pain. I know we're dealing with problems. But it's all right, because I got my hand in the master's hand. Come on, help me, if you will, stand to your feet and have the audacity of pointing at somebody and say, neighbor, keep your hand in the master's hands. And every step you make, Jesus is making it with you. And when Jesus is with you, he's more than the whole world against you. Well, Reverend, how do you know you're going to make it? Because Jesus made it. They nailed him to a cross, but he still made it. They put a crown of thorns on his head, but he still made it. They whipped him all night, but he still made it. They raised him high and dropped him low. He still made it. He died on that cross. Thank God he still made it. Took his lifely body down from the cross, put it in a borrowed tomb. In the morning, he got up out of that grave. He made it. Somebody shout, he made it. And if he made it, I'm gonna make it, because he's with me. He told me that he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Listen, point up at him and say, if you made it, I'm gonna make it. If you made it through the storm and the rain, if you made it through the heartache and pain, if you made it through the lightning and the thundering, if you made it, I'm going to make it. Shout, I'm going to make it. Come on, encourage yourself. Shout at yourself and say, I'm going to make it. Come on, let me hear you shout, I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. Yeah. I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. I'm going to keep on running. I'm going to make it. I'm going to run on to see what the end's going to be. I'm going to make it. Point at somebody and tell them, I'm crossing the finish line. I'm going to make it. Tell them, keep running. Keep pressing. Keep on praying. Keep on praising. It's going to be all right. You're going to make it. Come on, encourage them today. Tell them, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Let me ask you my question. When I'm going to my seat, ain't the Lord all right? Let me hear you say, the doors, stands ajar. I'm going to make it. You're going to make it. Listen, if you're here and you're not saved, I want to tell you, you need Christ on your side. Life is too pressurized, filled with problems, pain. But listen, when you belong to him, he will see you through. Don't you let Satan convince you of throwing in the towel. Stay with the Lord. He's able to keep you from falling. He's able to present you before his Father, who's wise. Whew. He didn't bring you this far to leave you. He's going with you all the way. Had a preacher friend call me. He says, man, you're going through a lot. He says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine. He says, no, man, how you really doing? I said, really doing fine. Because I understand that life has pressures. We're troubled on every hand. But he helps us through. I said, the same God that made my wife and mother is the same God who sustains life. I got to keep on going. Got to keep doing his will. Listen, regardless of what Satan is doing in your life, because he's allowed to afflict you, I don't want you to leave church thinking you shouldn't have problems. You're going to have them. And the psalmist says there are many, but he puts a but. And that's a shouting but now. But the Lord delivers him out of them all. What side of the but are you on? He delivers. He delivers. Every time Satan throws something at us, he delivers us. Even if he has to deliver us through death. He says, for that reason, be faithful unto death. Don't you give up. Don't you break before the brink. Don't you be like the children of Israel who made it to the promised land and doubted God before going in. Listen, they were turned back. Don't you let Satan turn you back from what God has delivered you from. He's constantly delivering us. I want you to hang on to the truth of God's word. He allows Satan to afflict us. That's why we have trouble on the job, trouble in the home, trouble with our children, trouble within. See, I have inner struggles too. There's a war going on in the inside of me. Paul speaks of that same war. The good that I would do, I don't. And the evil I shouldn't, that I do. Oh, what wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this bondage? Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ. Listen, the door's open. If you're here today and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life. He will be your eternal security. Come. Secondly, if you're here in need of a church home, and the Lord has laid this church in your heart, has placed this church in your spirit, you can come today and we will receive you as family of faith. Thirdly, if you're here and you need to be restored, Pastor, I've been going through. I'm struggling. I'm hurting. And I need special prayer. We will pray for you today. Come on. Come on. The doors of the Lord stand to you. Come on. Bless you. Bless you. Come on. Come on. Come on. The Lord is speaking. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. The doors. Come on. Come on, come on, the doors. If you're here, you can come by ladder. Christian Experience candidate.
I will
He promises us his presence. Come on.
I will be with you. I will be with you. If you will only
trust. Those of you who are watching virtually, our contact information is on the screen. Please contact us. If God has laid New Bethlehem on your heart for salvation, for fellowship and family, restoration, we're quick. We will be family to you. Come on. Brothers and sisters, we have David Brown, who has come to us by way of Christian experience. Come on, bless the Lord. Christian experience means that you have already accepted Jesus Christ in your heart as Lord and Savior. He's the caregiver, captain of your soul. All right. Being that you have come to us by way of Christian experience, we want to acclimate you, assimilate you into our church through our orientation classes. We want you to get with our secretary, Sister Tanja McKelvey, and set up a time so you can go through orientation. We want to share with you four lessons. Salvation, biblical salvation, why every Christian should partner with God in giving, why and how to study the Bible, and share with you fellowship, how important fellowship is. We want you to be a utensil of God, to reach into your family, share with your family the importance of being saved. If you have any relative that's lost, be God's mouthpiece. Share with them your faith, share with them the word of God, and help them be called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Will you do that? Amen. Bless you today, brother. Amen. Father, we thank you for this soul, this Brother Brown that you have sent our way. We pray, Lord, as a family, we will, Lord, share with him your word, go with him in your word, and encourage him in your word, Lord, to do the work as we are encouraged. Lord, be with him. Order his steps, guide his tongue and his mind. Lord, use his mouth to share, Lord, of your awesomeness, your availability, and your authority with all he come into contact with. Lord, help your church, the New Bethlehem Church, grow through this soul as he share, Lord, his faith. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we thank you for what eyes have seen, ears have heard, hearts have received. We thank you, Father, for giving us your word, encouraging our hearts with your truth. Father, we have suffered and we will suffer some more things as your people. But Lord, we have eternal security. You are with us. You never leave us nor forsake. Dear Heavenly Father, order our steps as we go down from this place, but never from your divine presence. Be the wind beneath our wings. Propel us forward and cause us to soar higher. Lord, we want you to be glorified You told us to show forth good works that others may see and give you glory in heaven. So, Father, as we go from this place hither and thither, we pray, Lord, that you use us. Lord, that we will yield, surrender, submit our lives to you. Lord, and as we share our faith, Lord, others will see the works of our faith and give you glory. Now may your grace, the love of Christ Jesus, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may rest, rule, and abide with us henceforth and forever. In every heart, say amen. Amen. Go in peace.